ask the Lord to bless the message today. So we'll bow our heads and just seek after him. Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you have done for us. We praise you for this service this morning. We're thanking you, Lord, for the worship that we have had. We thank you for Larissa's poem, dear Father, just to remind us again of the coming of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we know that it could be at any moment. We just look around us today and we see all of the things that are happening, and we know that it could be at any moment that Jesus will come back. And we pray that you'll bless this word of God today, Father, to our hearts. Give us strength to follow you and walk with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So our theme today is the power of God. And you know, I think if I ask any of you here today, you probably could tell me that there was some time in your life that you knew the power of God was in your life, that he was working, he was helping you with something. He's done that for me. He's helped me through a lot of things in my lifetime, and he was always there when I cried out to him. From the time I was a child and from the time I grew up and had family and all of the things, God has always been there. He is the power that he brings that power to us. So we know that right now that the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father God. And what's he doing? He is interceding for us. That's what the scripture says. The power of God. I'm just going to quote to you or read to you a scripture that is in Psalm 110, 1 through 7. It says there, "The Lord Jehovah said unto my Lord." Now that means Father God said unto Christ. You can even see that the print L-O-R-D and L-O-R-R-D. He says, "Sit at my right hand until I've made thy enemies thy footstool." And so the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God right now, waiting. And one of these days, he's going to come back. And all of the enemy of God, the enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be subdued at that time. So praise the Lord. He is our Lord, and he is our high priest. The scripture says, "I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God, power and coming in the cloud of heaven." The right hand of power is what it says. We're talking about power. The right hand of power is where Jesus Christ is sitting right now, and he's going to be coming back in the clouds of heaven. Hallelujah. Now, the word power in the Bible, we see that word a lot. You'd be amazed how many times that's in the Bible if you haven't looked it up. God is a powerful God. God is a wonderful God. In Jeremiah 10:12, it says he made the earth by his power. And we know that. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. We can't do that, can we? We can't say, "Lights be on," and they jump on. We can't do that. But God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is full of power. He can do anything. He is able, and he has been doing it for centuries here in this earth. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The scripture says in one place that our Lord can, it says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them." So he's right now at the right hand of God, and he intercedes for us all the time with God our Father. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It's all based on the crucifixion of Christ. He died for us. He died for our sins to set us free from all that we have. So Jesus has power and ability. That's what we're talking about, the power of God. The power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip some of this. Let's look in the book of John. John, one of the Gospels, the four Gospels, the 10th chapter, and we're going to read verse 17. John, the 10th chapter, verse 17. This shows what power the Lord Jesus Christ had. Even we know that he had power when he was here on the earth, didn't he? He raised the dead. He prayed. He laid hand on the sick, and they were instantly healed. But in this verse, chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus speaking, he says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again." See, this is before he died. So he was telling them all, "I'm going to lay down my life and give it so that others might be saved." And then in verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." So he's saying, I have power to do all of these things. Not only in his lifetime there on the earth did he have this kind of power. Do you remember? He raised the dead. Went in there and prayed for the little girl that was dead, and he instantly life came back. He had power because he was the Son of God. And he still is the Son of God. And he still is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us all of the time. He has power. He had power to lay his life down. He had power to take it up again. Now he's in the heavens waiting for us to come. And like Sister said, Jesus is going to come one of these days, and the power of God is going to speak to people's hearts who are ready for the coming of Jesus, and they will be taken away from this place into heaven. Translated, it's called. 1 Thessalonians 4, there on that last part of that chapter talks about the coming of the Lord. So, praise God. That's the power of Christ's crucifixion. Christ's crucifixion, he laid down his life for us, that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ can be saved. That's the power of the crucifixion, the power of God in that. That was God's plan, his eternal plan, that the Son would come and die for our sins. Oh, praise the Lord, the power of crucifixion. Okay, the second thing, of course, is the power of resurrection. And there, we know that that took place. No man took Jesus' life from him. Praise the Lord. He is the one that gave his life and then was resurrected from the dead. So the power of resurrection. In 2 Corinthians 13:4, it says, "For though he was crucified through weakness," and that's what it appeared on the outside, this poor, weak man coming there, beaten, carrying the cross up to Calvary, all of those things, it seemed to imply that he was a weak person, that he couldn't do something. But that wasn't true. It says, "Yet he liveth by the power of God." Yes, he was crucified through weakness that he allowed. He allowed them to crucify him because he knew that that would bring about salvation for all who would believe in Christ. And yet he lives. When he resurrected from that grave, it was the power of God that resurrected him out of that grave. Hallelujah. He liveth by the power of God. Praise the Lord. Philippians 3:10. It speaks of the power of his resurrection there. Let's look at that in Philippians 3:10. We call this rummaging in your Bible to find the text. We call it scripture scramble when we were kids. It's how we learned to. Philippians 3:10. Paul is saying here, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." So yes, there was power in the resurrection. But do you know, because of the resurrection of Christ, you and I have power. We have power with God. Salvation is ours. We are born again. We have a place with God. We have power in our prayer to believe in God. You see? We don't have the power in ourselves, but it's the Holy Spirit, it's the power of God in us that gives us power to overcome daily in our lives. There's not one of us here today that doesn't have trials, that doesn't have some kind of problems that we've got. Everybody has that because we're human beings. But praise the Lord that we have power with God, power of the resurrection of Christ. He did that for us. He died and he rose again for us. Oh, hallelujah. He was crucified through weakness. He could have called 10,000 angels to come and get him off that cross. He didn't do that because he was following his Father's will. And he did it because he loved us. He loves us so much that he wanted to do that. Praise the Lord. And he did it for our sake. Oh, hallelujah. We can know the power of the resurrection in our lives, in our present life. When we are weak, do you ever feel weak in yourself? Do you ever have illness? You have something that's going on in your life that you feel like you can't get victory over? If we have that kind of problem, we can turn to the Lord and say, Lord, through your power, help me to be an overcomer. Give me your strength. Give me your strength. And he will. He loves us. And he's willing to provide his strength for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And so, this power for us, there's power for us to become children of God. The children of God. Let's go back to John again, where Jesus is speaking. See, this gets you used to turning in your Bible to different places in case you haven't done this before. When we were kids, we always played these Bible games, so we got real used to doing that, turning in our Bible. John, the first chapter, Apostle John speaking of Christ in verse 12. As many as received him, speaking of Jesus Christ, coming to die for us, die for our sins, so that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He has given the power. You see, we cannot become the children of God by ourselves. It's not a thing of like, I'm going to decide to follow God now, and every day I'm going to do the right things, and I'm not going to do those bad things anymore. It does not work. It does not work. The way that we come to know the Lord, the way that we receive, you see, we take Jesus Christ into us. The word receive means to accept or to take. We say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, change my life. Many as receive him, he gave the power. The Lord God, Jesus Christ himself even, gave this power to become the sons of God to them that believe in his name. How important that is. Oh, it's so important. Praise the Lord. In Romans 1:16, it says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That word power means the force, the miraculous power, the ability, the abundance, and the might. How does an unbeliever get born again? It's not by just saying, I'm going to be good now. I'm going to not do this. I'm not going to follow that anymore. I'm going to do this. It won't work that way. The only way to be receive Christ is to just say, Here I am, Lord. I need your help. Save me. Help me, Lord. And it's the Lord. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. So there is power in this becoming the children of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Very same power saves everyone in this. It says, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, what is it? The power of God. The preaching of the cross, that Jesus Christ died for us, and he's given all that he had, coming down from heaven, his heavenly Father, and becoming a human being, and dying on the cross. Yes, he came down, but it is the power of God. We preach the cross of Jesus Christ that redeems us, who saves us. It's so wonderful to know Jesus. And if there's anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus, remember, it's this matter of your accepting Jesus into your life, believing in Jesus Christ, and just asking to do it. He's a faithful Lord. He cares about you. He wants you to be his child. He wants you to follow God. Praise the Lord. So let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 1. Now, this is Jesus speaking. He hasn't yet gone up to heaven, gone back to heaven, but it's after his death and resurrection, and he's there with the disciples. Acts 1. He's talking about how that they were asking him, what's going to happen now, Lord, and all of this. And this is verse 7 of chapter 1 of Acts. And he said, which is Jesus talking, "It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." See, he's saying right there that the power of God, which I'm teaching about today, is up to God when God is going to have Jesus come back. It's up to God the Father when it's going to be. So he's put that in his own power. Another place in the 24th chapter of Matthew, he mentions that only God knows. And, I know that that's kind of sounds strange, but it's all up to God our Father to have this time when he's going to come back. Now let's look in verse 8. "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Now, I don't live over in Israel. I don't ever go to any of those countries. Neither do probably you. I tried to go last year or so, whenever that was, and we didn't get very far because there was COVID over in Israel, so we never got there. But praise the Lord, when we receive the power of God, the Holy Ghost has come upon us. We're witnesses to him all over the world. Wherever we are witnesses of Christ. I don't live in Judea, I don't live in Samaria, I don't live in Jerusalem, but I live here in Carbondale, Kansas. Some of you live other places, other cities, but God has you there as a witness for him and the power that he has and your ability to speak to someone that they might know the Lord and come to know his power. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the next one that we're going to look is number 5, and we're going to go to the book of Hebrews. See, this is good for you, whether you realize or not. Helps you to learn to turn in your Bible and find places. Hebrews, and it's chapter 7. Chapter 7. This is power in our lives daily. Praise the Lord. In chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 16. In verse 15, it talks about Christ, and it says, "And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest." Melchizedek was an ancient priest in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. And Jesus Christ then is a high priest that prays and intercedes before God all the time for us. And then in verse 16, "Who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life." After the power of an endless life. Jesus Christ died once, and he provided new life for us. Jesus Christ will never die again. He is risen from the grave, and he has given to us the power of an endless life. When you're born again, when you come to know Jesus, what do you get? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's what we get. We get everlasting life, the power of an endless life. Praise the Lord, that power. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." The excellency of the power. We have the power of God given to us in Jesus Christ as we receive Christ as our Lord, our Savior. But there's an excellency of that power. It's great. It's wonderful to know Jesus, to feel his presence with us, and just to yield our life and walk with him. He meets our needs. He supplies our needs. He's a gracious, wonderful God. He's full of love. A lot of people think that the Lord's up there just sitting ready to zap us, you know. The slightest little thing we do. Or disown us. That's not right. We have eternal salvation. It's throughout the scripture. It says that we have everlasting life. And that salvation has brought to us this wonderful thing, the power of God. By the word of truth and by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Praise the Lord. In Ephesians 3:7, Apostle Paul said that he was a minister to the Gentiles. And then he adds, by the effectual working of his power. What is it that works in our life? You know, we're all human beings. We all have trials. We all have faults. Sorry to tell you that, but we all do because we're human. Every one of us. There are times that we don't do the right thing. It's the way it is. As we grow in the Lord and walk with the Lord, we do walk better in the situation. But notice that he has the power of God is with us. Apostle Paul was made a minister to the Gentiles by the effectual working of his power. Effectual means it happens. It'll work out, and that's the way it is. When the Lord does a work in our life, it is there's something to it. It's real. It works in our life. In 2 Peter, pardon me, he says, his divine power has given unto us all the things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power, life, living life. Life is hard. Life is hard. Life is not easy. But his divine power gives to us all the things that pertain to life. Everything that we need in our life, whether it's good or bad, the Lord is there faithful to give us that meet that need for our life. Our part is to ask him, Lord God, help me. I'm in a circumstance. It's hard. I don't know what to do. Help me now, Lord. Guide me. Show me the way. And he does that. He does it. He's so faithful. Hallelujah. His divine power has given unto us all the things that pertain to life. We was talking about life just now. How about all the things that pertain to godliness? See, we have Christ in us. We know Jesus. He's Christ in us, the hope of glory, the scripture says. We want the Christ life in us. If we really want to follow the Lord, we want that Christ life to be manifest in our life outwardly. As we walk with God, as we yield our lives to God, let him show forth his spirit through us. Praise the Lord. The divine power has given unto us, it's his divine power, all the things that pertain to life and godliness. Praise the Lord. So, we have the power of God in us. We know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. His power is in us. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to turn back to Ephesians, the second chapter. Let's go to the second chapter of Ephesians. We're almost through. I'll tell you so you won't be bored. Ephesians, the second chapter. Can we read with verse 1? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The word quickened means to make alive. So we were dead before we knew Jesus, even though we may have thought we were alive. When we don't have Jesus in our life, we are walking around spiritually dead. But when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been quickened. We've been made alive by the Lord and following him. Verse 2, wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air? The devil. That's what happened in our fleshly being. We were walking in the power of the world according to the prince of the power of the air. So there's that word power again. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. That word means our lifestyle or our conduct. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he's quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Do you ever think about that? Why? Why be born again? Why yield our lives to God? Because there's an afterlife, see? When we get there in the presence of the Lord, the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace. See what I did? I brought all these people to know God. I brought them by the grace of God, by the strength that I gave them. And here they are, by the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. Oh boy, the Lord's been kind to me many, many times. And I know he's been kind to you. He's a wonderful Lord. Now in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what he wants us to know, is that our salvation is his work. And then verse 10, for we are his workmanship. You know, I like to know the meanings of words, and in this word, in the original Greek, it was actually the word product. Or poem. I thought that was interesting that it was a poem. I wrote there in my margin, he's writing us. We're like a poem that he's creating. Any of you that have tried to produce poems. And so we are his workmanship. He works on us. And we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we, as we know the Lord as our Savior, then we should let the good works of the Lord be manifest in our lives toward others. You see, we have Christ in our life after that, isn't it? And notice it's unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Praise the Lord. So his power works in us. His power works in us. And changes us from what we were to what he wants us to be. As you see, praise the Lord. According to the prince of the power of the air, the old devil thinks he's the prince of the power of the air, but we know that our Lord is mighty, and he is over us all. All right, let's look in the third chapter of Ephesians while we're right here. We're getting to the end, in case you're tired. The third chapter, and we're going to read with verse 19. He's talking, Apostle Paul here, talking about how that he wanted these people to learn, to be able to comprehend all the things about God. That's found in the 18th verse there. Then verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power. Specifically, miraculous power, strength, and mighty, wonderful works. That's what that's referring to right there. It's not how strong I am in my natural self. It's not that. It's the power of God coming into our life and working in us. As he says, the power that worketh in us. It comes first into our new life that we have, Christ in us. Then it's coming outward from that new life in our lives as we walk with him. Praise the Lord. It's literally the Holy Spirit working in us. That's what the Lord wants, that power. And then finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's Ephesians 6:10. That's where we need to be strong in. Not just saying to ourselves, I won't do that again. I won't say those words again. We're all human. So it's hard to do that because we have to do that in our own strength. But when we cry out to the Lord and we just say, Lord, help me. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That word might there means ability, strength, and forcefulness. How strong is God? How strong is Jesus Christ? Can he do anything or is he just sitting up there waiting? No. He's doing things all the time. He's working with us all the time. He's changing us. Be strong in him. Cry out to him and let him do that by the power of his might. Oh, I thank God for the work he does in my life. Sometimes it's so hard. I know that. It's hard. Trials come. Tests come. And we think, oh, Lord God, why are you allowing this? Sometimes you think. Then you think, okay, Lord, you want us to be ready for your coming. You want us to be in trust of you. You want us to be letting you do the work. Praise the Lord. Praise God for his strength. So I wrote a little question at the bottom. You have to answer this question by yourself. Is our God strong enough to meet our needs? Is he strong enough? He's not a helpless God. We're helpless, aren't we? Our need is to call out to God. Call out to God and let him meet our need. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.